Well, this is a something I thought about doing, just a little behind the scenes of a match day for the press, but thought I'd do it for the Skies Blue podcast. This is for the game against Southend, so I'll let you know who's behind the scenes at the moment. Though the stewards are being given their jobs to do behind the south stand. The pitch is looking a bit bare at present. Just some of the media are arriving. The BBC Essex have arrived, and Southend United media as well are here. Nobody from Chesterfield yet, apart from myself, but expecting around a 9,000 crowd today. It's a cold day, but it's fortunately not as cold as others have been. So the pitch looks a bit bare at present, which is understandable. It's been 5 consecutive home games on it in the league, so remarkable as well. But yeah, expecting a good day, and hopefully I'll get a chance to interview people as we're going along during the day.
You got the team?
Just before, not yet, no, I haven't got the team, no. So, big game today. Just doing behind the scenes for our podcast, so I just thought I'd do something. You're about to go on air, are you all prepped and ready?
Yeah, I think so. I'm on air in, 11 minutes or so from now. I never sort of pre-prep calls or anything, but when the final whistle goes, I do want to say Chesterfield have beaten a club record, that it's the 21st different team that the Spirites have beaten in one season. They've only ever beaten 20 different sides in one season before. If they win today against Southend, it'll be 21. They can, of course, do that against Oldham or Maidenhead later on in the year, so there's 3 hits at it. But that'll be something special, and it's still January.
So when our podcast comes out, let's hope that's happened, isn't it? So when we get together. So this is behind the scenes, before kick-off. Most of the press are here, aren't they? But not everybody. Your co-commentator doesn't arrive till when?
Well, Jamie Hewitt, I think, arrives and has a cup of coffee and a chat and turns up about 5 minutes to kick off, but he doesn't come on until 3 minutes to kick off. And Josh Marsh, he generally arrives about 2 o'clock, and he puts his X feed, I suppose you've got to call it these days, haven't you, on to try and get the earliest team news of the opposition. We'll have got the Chesterfield team, touch wood. I've not got it with 10 minutes to go now. But so for the introduction, hopefully we've got at least sight of the Southend's team, even if we've not had to had time to work it out. And today it's all about, hopefully Harry Cardwell will not be in. He's been out since November, and he's their best player, isn't he?
This is just behind the scenes for the pod. I'm with Kurt Big, Chesterfield media assistant. We've just done the team news, which is embargoed until 2 o'clock, isn't it, usually? Obviously, that's I don't think it's in the National League you can do that, is it? But definitely in the EFL you can. But yeah, we have to keep it away from everybody until 2, don't we?
Absolutely, it's important because of, stuff like betting patterns, that always impacts something like that. And, just being able to keep some suspense during a match day, it's always nice for people to try and guess who or might be in or not in the match day squad. So it's always a good thing to have, and with 2 p.m. it allows both teams to get adequately ready for it.
So you're a busy boy. How many socials do you have to update at 2 o'clock?
So we've got Twitter or X, Facebook and Instagram. So it's usually quite easy to keep up, because luckily with Facebook and Instagram, they kind of roll into one. So the only thing that you need to worry about is if you've got any links on a post, because you can't put clickable links onto Instagram. But other than that, it's fairly easy as long as you're quite ready with it. Sometimes we're ready with it. Sometimes it's a bit of a rush to get everything done, but everything's always done in time and hopefully always right.
This is when the media start to earn their corn a little bit, isn't it? Between 2 and 3, it's very hectic, isn't it? You like sort of finalising who's in the team and getting your stats ready, basically, aren't you?
Exactly, and I know there's been a few times, not for us, but for other teams in the past couple of months, where a player's then had to drop out of the starting 11 because of an injury. So especially when it's not your team and you're trying to figure that out, then it becomes a bit more hectic. But no, luckily between 2 and 3 p.m. everything's quite measured, and kind of the hectic part's always a bit beforehand and then during the game. So between 2 and 3, it's make sure that players come out, get a few things from that, and then get ready for the game.
Right, I'll have a chat with you after the game then. All right, see you in a bit. I'm with Josh Marsh of 1866 Sport, and you're prepping, really, for your... Let me just move out of the way here. So we're just at the back of the press box, so we're a bit busy. So... Josh, you prepping for helping fill out with you with the socials before the game?
Yeah, that's right. So we collate as much as we can. We like to interact, obviously, with the fans, because the fans are a big part of the show, of course. And yeah, we like to get as many views on as possible, really. So yeah, I help fill along with a bit of that before, during and after the game. So yeah, really fun.
And you're also just sat there watching the game, observing, so you can come in with some bit of technical stuff like later on.
I try to. I think a lot of people think I talk a load of rubbish, but yeah, I try and just, you know, give my thoughts on the game as well a little bit, and just provide a bit of insight, because obviously when you're busy commentating, Phil and Jamie, they might miss a few things, or yeah, I might just get a different angle on it to what they have. So try and just provide a bit of insight as well,
As well as collecting old stuff. And also you do a podcast for post-game as well. That's After the Whistle. So that goes up on Spotify, well, about 24 hours, isn't it, after the game, so which is pretty good editing. Better than mine, I must say. That's how.
I'm not too sure about that. It's always a rush because, well, as you know, especially if there's a win, everyone wants to listen back to the action really quickly. And we live in that world now, don't we, where everyone wants things instantly, you know, at the touch of a button. So, yeah, I try and provide that. And, it keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble.
So the show goes on until, what, about six-ish? Would that be about right, is it?
Yeah, it often depends when we can get the reaction, as you know, Paul. It can be sometimes after a defeat and tensions are high, you can sometimes be waiting a little bit for the manager and the players to come out. But luckily this season it's been quite efficient. I think players are more than happy to do their bit, talking to us media types after they've won, especially, you know, like Will Grigg the other week after Gates said when he scored that hat-trick, he was very happy, wasn't he, to come out and have a chat to the press. So
yeah, well, Southend are just coming out, sorry, in a dirty yellow kit, Josh, a horrible kit.
We might see a bit more of that next season because, of course, our rivals over the other side of the motorway are doing quite well for themselves, aren't we? But, hopefully we can set up a nice local derby next season.
Well, fingers crossed, that they don't get promoted as well, and hopefully Chester will get promoted as well, of course. But tough game today.
Tough one. Obviously, Southend, good team, probably, I think, will be in and amongst it for the playoffs come the end of the season. When we went down there, of course, you know, were the better side on the day. They really stifled Chesterfield and made it hard for us, and I don't think Chesterfield played up to the best either on the day, so maybe a bit of revenge in the air. I think Chesterfield will want to prove to Southend that they're a better team than what they showed at Roots Hall on that day.
All right, well, have a good good luck this afternoon, and have a good show as well. So
yeah, thank you as well.
Cheers, mate. Hello, pal. You all right? How's it going? This is just for the Skies Blue podcast. So I'm with Liam Knockett for the Derbyshire Times. Busy boy, aren't you, just before this game? It's always a busy time between 2 and 3.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that time, isn't it, where you're trying to get the team news together, you're looking at the stats and the facts, and you're looking at the opposition, and so I'm preparing your match reports and your other bits and bobs ahead of the 3 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah, team news went out at 2, didn't it? So it's always embargo till that particular point, isn't it? So, but yeah, Bailey Clement's back in the starting 11 for his first start. Good to see him back.
Yeah, it's his first appearance, isn't it, since being recalled from his loan, first appearance of the season, first appearance since that Wembley heartache as well, where he had a great game. So I'm sure he'll be eager to see what he can do, and it gives Brandon Horton a bit of a rest, and also with Southend being a very good side, it sort of freshened up those fullback areas, doesn't it?
You're sat in the press box right next to the 1866 Sport guy, so you get Jamie Hewitt's oversight during the game, as well as my random shouting as well from, I'm to your left, aren't I, as well. You've got Kurt as well there. So a busy day today, because Southend have brought a bit of media with him, haven't they? So it's always nice to see when it's full, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's got a feel of a big game, hasn't it? It's nice to have those days in the National League, because sometimes you go places and sometimes it's just me and you sat there, isn't it, sometimes? So it's nice to sort of see the press box fall and thrive, and hopefully we'll have more days like that next season when hopefully we're back in the Football League.
Yeah, fingers crossed, like, so we get quite a few people here. But over 9,000 again expected here today as well. It should be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's got, like I say, it's got that proper game feel about it, doesn't it? You know, the crowds this season have been superb, the atmospheres have been brilliant. It's always nice when you see some in the away end as well, because we had Woking here in midweek who brought less than 50, wasn't it? So it creates that bit of atmosphere amongst the supporters, and that, nothing wrong with a bit of needle here and there, is there?
No, not at all. I'll catch up with you after the game, is that all right? So yeah, we'll have a little chat then. Phil's busy doing his talkative. I mean, bless him, he does 4 hours worth of chatting, doesn't he, as well? So I don't know what his voice is like sort of later on, having to host and also do the commentary as well. So yeah, so we'll I'll catch up with you in a bit. Now, Stuart, you're not in the press box for some strange reason I can always never work out. But you're very close to it though, aren't you? So you get to see what the chat is about as well. So so I'm just doing a behind the scenes for our pod, and I've just had a chat to Phil, Liam and Josh and everybody about that. But looking forward to the game today.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Who can't? I can't remember a time like it when, you know, I'm like a kid at Christmas starts Friday afternoon, really. Yeah, yeah. You know, don't wait till Saturday morning for the excitement to start building up. It's been brilliant.
Yeah. You couldn't be any more closer. Where's your seat then? This one. This is not very good good visual, but like
radio, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So just along this, so second row down from the top of the W7. You're obviously the rowdy member of the W7 crew, aren't you?
Well, I got it a season or two ago, and I got it particularly that seat because there was one either side of it empty, and I used to be able to spread out a bit. But now that we're, you know, playing so well and getting such great results, of course it's full every week, so I'm squashed up like a sardine. I ain't got the luxury of you people lounging about in the press box anymore.
I can see Ryan Watterson and Mark Watterson down there. Just give him a wave. So, alright. You're right. So there they are, just down there. The fans come in.
I've just seen two people outside trying to wave paper tickets at the little thing that reads the chip in your card. So we've obviously got two people who have never been in here before.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I saw a young child with a Barnsley shirt on. His dad was obviously a Barnsley person, but the mother must have been from Chesterfield. She had more of a local accent. So they're coming to the game as well. So I'd like to have a chat with Daryl Carpenter, our fourth member of the podcast, but he's way over there somewhere in the East Stand, I think, with his East Stand crew. So we'll get a little conflag for him whenever we do the podcast and meet up. So thanks for that, Stuart. And I may, might get a chance to speak to you at half time, but not at full time.
Yeah, well, so I'll be
you'll be hovering around. Okay, thank you very much. See you in a bit. So I've just done a team hit on BBC Radio Sheffield. I'm just about to start totting up the South End team with their formation. I've already got it from my colleagues at BBC Radio Essex. So, and it sounds like Radio Sheffield are going to have a chat with me as well. So I'll have to end this pretty quickly. Yeah, good afternoon, Adam. Hope you're well. Well, it's about, 10 minutes from kickoff. The atmosphere building quite nice, as you can probably hear in the background. Going to do another team news hit on BBC Radio Sheffield about 5-2. There's three other games on today, not the full quota of sides. Sheffield Wednesday played last night. Sheffield United are playing Brighton. Doncaster are playing Stockport. And Barnsley are playing Exeter. So, busy programme. And I'll be doing off-air comms as well for goal clips as well. So catch you in a bit. Well, it's half-time at the SMH Group Stadium, and Chesterfield are leading by a goal to nil thanks to a brilliant strike from James Berry, who smacks against the crossbar. But to say that they've been under the cosh is a little bit of an understatement, actually. They've had opportunities, Southend, really good ones as well. Good Scott Morris with the volley. The cleared one off the line. It was the Dacker's headers cleared off the line by Tyrone Williams, and Dacker's got on the end of a through ball, which is a weak shot saved easily by Harry Tyra. But Chesterfield do lead by goal to nil, searching for that 18th successive home victory, but they're going to have to work hard to get it. The Southend side are a really good team. I'm with Stuart again of the podcast. So that's been hard work, hasn't it, to lead by a goal to nil
after the third minute? Yeah, it was, rather, wasn't it? The pitch to me looks as though it's having an influence on us. We don't seem to be able to pass it about with quite the sort of syrupy sweetness that we normally do, you know. It's bare in pay places, it's a bit bobbly, and it suits a team that kind of likes to get the ball up in the air and out wide and crosses into the big man like them, you know. But when all said and done, it's 1-0, and it's been that way for 42 minutes, so hopefully it'll be same for the next 45 and a bit. You know.
When Chesterfield have got it right, there was that move before with a lovely interchange of passing there, which smacked against Nathan Ralph's chest.
Yes.
When they get it right, they look really good. But unfortunately, they've had to do a lot of defending, haven't they? And even cleared one off the line by Williams.
That was a tremendous clearance off the line. If anybody gets a chance to see that on the highlights, then yeah. Shackelford's played well at the back, as has Clements, I think, on his return. We have had a lot of defending to do, but by and large, we've done it all right, you know, as a scoreline suggests. Whether you can keep them away if they keep on knocking at the door. I've seen a lot of the ball, but I don't know if there's been a lot of pressure, really. You know, so... But you've just got to get it going in the middle of midfield for me, really. Naylor's look good coming forward, but there's not enough there. Jacobs was good for the first 10-15 minutes and went a bit quiet, you know.
Yeah. I thought Oldacre's been a bit... off it today, I think. So he's not really at it today so far.
It's like games Tuesday, Saturday, isn't it? They ain't played for 2 weeks, have they? So, you know, perhaps that's having an influence. Some of the players, you know, Berry looks a bit tired to me sometimes, you know. He just seems to sort of pause when he's not on the ball and kind of just switch out of the game for a second or two. And, if you're mentally and physically fresh, you don't do that. And I wonder whether we're just feeling that a bit as well. We're probably as tired as the pitch is.
Yeah. You know. Maybe, but at the moment, Chester are looking for the 18th successive home victory. So thanks, Stu. Cheers. I'll speak to you later. Well, what a result in the end. Chesterfield then, looking at the moment, they're going to go 16 points clear at the top of the National League with their 18th consecutive home win in all competitions. James Berry's stunner in the first half separated the two sides, but Chesterfield had to weather a real storm as well when Jack Bridges' cross or Chris Morris shot over and Adaka's header was cut off the line by Williams. Into the second half, and Chesterfield took slight control with Mandeville's shot saved by Colin ND in goal. Dobra's little sweep found Quigley and he lashed the ball home. It was his first touch for Joe Quigley, and as a sub for Will Grigg to make it 2-0. 6 minutes later, lovely feet with the interchange of passing with Jacobs and Dobra. Dobra then danced into the area and smacked the ball into the net for the third goal and to confirm all 3 points with the Spirites. Great atmosphere, 8,745. And us in the press have got some work to do to find out who's the man of the match, etc. But yeah, it'll be a great result for the Spirites. And now they turn their travels. They go on their travels to Eastleigh and to Dagenham as well. There's Phil Tooley doing a post-match roundup. I'm in Josh Marsh just having a chat at the minute, so he's just doing his little bits and bobs, just trying to get the final scores and whatnot. So I'll have to go downstairs and interview Danny Webb and other players that are coming up. So I'll just make my way down the stairs right now. I'll go and meet Kurt, who's got the kit down at the bottom of the stairs in front of the West Stand. There's a Liam Norcliffe interviewing Danny in the background, as you can probably hear. Bron's clearing up after the three interviews. Kurt's making his way up to the media office, so just doing a bit for Sky's Blue podcast, you see, just a behind the scenes look. So stunning bit of work today, Bron. 3 points against a tough side, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to win 3-0 against a team who, let's face it, if they didn't have their points deduction, would be probably in the top three. It's a joke, really, isn't it? I mean, to win that comfortably is really impressive and sort of shows where the Chesterfield side are, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. So now you, as the one of the two media guys I've got, media assistants, still got loads of work to do, haven't you?
Yeah, unfortunately so. What time are we on now? It is 25 past five and I'll be lucky to make it home for 9 p.m. I reckon, with all the work to do. So, yeah, while everyone else is in bed, you know, putting their feet up after a 3-0 win, yeah, unfortunately our day doesn't stop and I'll be sat in the office on my own for a couple of hours at least.
So the club users interview, we had interviews today with James Berry, who else do we have? Bailey Clements, welcome back. Danny Webb, who's still been chatted to by Liam as well. Who else?
Tyrone.
Up there, Tyrone up at 1866. He's still up there, is he having a chat?
Yeah, absolutely. We try and get as many players as we can for Phil on the radio station and make it as exclusive as possible, really. And then yourself gets the delight of speaking to a couple of them.
I get the second bits and bobs, don't
I? Yeah, you get to speak to a couple of them, don't you? We're nice sometimes.
Well, yeah, everything's all a bit quiet now. Alan Rose over there just forking the pitch. I said that correctly as well. But all the South End people seem to have gone, apart from BBC Essex. So, but yeah, it's the end of the day. 3 points again for Chesterfield. Well, how many points clear is it now? 16.
Oh, 16.
16 with two games in hand. Remarkable, isn't it? So absolutely remarkable.
Up the Blues.
Cheers, mate. Well, a former Sky's Blue podcast member, let's see, we went to higher things, I'd say, is with, I've just managed to catch him as well, just walking down the stairs, but what a 3 points feat.
Yes, I mean, a lot of people would have settled for a point at that one, I think, just to keep things going, but that the second half particularly, the playing without the ball, where we put that high line in and didn't allow any crosses in or anything, it was magnificent, and then to get the two goals just to top it off, I thought it was very good.
Just shy of 9,000 here today as well, and they brought a fair number, didn't they, Southend? Really, really impressive away following today.
Yeah, over 800 made the trip up, but the 8,000 Chesterfield fans here as well, and that's, you know, you may be looking at, you know, sellouts for some of those last few matches, certainly the last one, and it might be, you know, advising people to buy your tickets now, you know, it's...
Well, that's true. Yeah, and I know people have been buying them as well. There's family and friends been buying them, from my point of view, for the Maidenhead game itself. Yeah. So, yeah, which is quite remarkable in itself, isn't it?
Yes. And it's, you know, I think people realise it's a matter of when, you hope now. It's, you know, you never count your chickens, but, you know, on the back of matches like that, you know, you wonder, you know, if there is anything that can derail this now. It's... because, you know, it's just this home form. You know, the away form is probably one of the best we've had for many seasons, but the home form where you win this many in a row, it's just, yeah, it's unprecedented, as Stuart would have said, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're looking at 19 home wins, which is the record in 30-31 and 84-85. So that's the one with, 69-70, 19 points, which would equate to 91 points, which is exactly the points we got in 84-85, all three as champions. So, you know, it's pointed in the right direction, isn't it?
It is, and the interesting thing is, looking at second and third, how many points they're now aiming for. I mean, you suddenly look at Altrincham coming up on the rails with games in hand, because Bromley and Barnet are starting to falter a little bit, and it's almost... how many points is second place going to get? And the world, you hope, be a point at one of the matches before the end of the season, where we're ticking it off and it's mathematically done.
Incredible. Your company secretary now, obviously it's a promotion from Sky's Blue podcast, we've had to bring in a reprobate Daz Carpenter to bring in. So what's it like, what's your day job like then here? I thought you retired, by the way.
Yeah, I retired about 10 years ago, but now a lot of the day job is looking at the tickets now, and a lot of it is looking at how many tickets we can get for certain away matches coming up, because we know that some of those matches, Oldham and York, there'll be thousands of people wanting to go to them, and it's whether we can get those, and then fitting people in at home as well. So no, it's tickets.
Well, thanks very much, former Sky's Blue podcast member. I'll speak to you again soon. Cheers, Pete. Yeah, well, that was Pete Wiley chatting. We're just going to make our way up the stairs now. The end of the day, just with the 3 points, and everybody else who's mopping up, doing their finishing work. Let's have a look now. Josh and Phil still doing the end of the 1866 sport. Bron's just packing his gear away.
Time to go home.
Time to go home, he says. Absolutely. It's still packed inside the hospitality area. Still huge as well. They've got a game on as well in there that they're watching. But yeah, step over that. But packed in there, which is always good to see. I'll just whisper as Phil's still chatting in 1866. Liam Norcliffe is just tapping away in his laptop. So is Kurt, who's also doing the non-league paper. And Chris Phillips of the South End Echo is also finishing his match day report, as well as a bit of quotes afterwards. The work's never ending in the press, is it? So, never finishing. Just a long trip back home as well for the South End lot as well. So, but yeah, full time here. It's finished just for 3-0 South End.